This episode of Butcher's Breakaway is brought to you by you. Thank you so much for supporting us. And of course, The Athletic for supporting us. And everyone else who, you know, was there from the beginning. Trade deadline coming up in a couple weeks. Fun show with Greg and I today. Let's just get to it, huh? Let's just roll right into it. Here we go.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Fans, welcome to another week of the Blue Shirts Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Mead. As per always, I'm of The Athletic, and Gregory is also of The Athletic, and now he's here to say hello. Greg, say it.
3 minutes ago, Ryan.
Yes.
Leafs public relations. Michael Hutchinson will start in goal for the second period. Frederik Andersen being examined, and his status will be updated shortly.
So, I went to clap. I stopped myself, because...
Smart.
I don't want to root for an injury. I don't root for any injuries in hockey or in sports, period, end of story. Uh-huh.
That's smart.
But I am salivating.
Yeah, yeah. Everything seems to be coming up Rangers in Toronto, yeah. Huh?
How did this work out so, like, we don't know what's happening yet, but right now with storylines with the Rangers, what are they? It's, we have three goalies, what's up with Kako? I'm sure we're going to talk a little about that. What's up, what's Tony doing this week? And the trade deadline. The trade deadline is the biggest story.
Honestly, I think every conversation, it just starts and ends with Chris Kreider, right?
It has to.
The world we live in.
At this point. And we have a wonderful guest on today, Jeremy Rutherford of the Athletic St. Louis. He's going to talk to us about Chris Kreider later and their interest, the St. Louis Blues' interest in Chris Kreider. But right now, it has to start with Chris Kreider. I mean, we'll get to his little, his Mika scenario in a second, but this situation for the Rangers could not be working out better. Chris Kreider is the number one trade target on the market right now because Taylor Hall is off and Ray Shiro didn't wait at all. So thanks Shiro for that, and now Shiro is out of a job. And now with Andersen going down for the Leafs, you have to say to yourself, like,
It's not just Andersen. We're not watching the game. We didn't see what happened. We don't know what's going on.
That's true. You're right.
But it's the combination of clearly something's wrong with Andersen, and Kasperi Kapanen seems to be in the Leafs' doghouse. So, you know, it just seems to be lining up for where the Maple Leafs could take a step back and go, you know what? Fuck it. We need Georgiev. Kapanen's doing his thing. There seems to be a marriage here. Why don't we just make it happen? We're just connected dot guys, right?
That's us.
We just sit back and say, all we're saying is we're just saying.
And I will buy. How many alarms will we ship to Kapanen's house if he's a Ranger? Like,
as many as he needs. Yeah. You know what? No, fuck it. We're not going to ship him alarms. We're just not going to start practice before 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
That's going to be our thing.
Let the kid sleep. He's tired, yeah. Boy.
This is New York. You can't get anywhere in 45 minutes anyway. Especially you can't get to fucking Westchester. No, practice is going to start at 1 o'clock if you're on the New York Rangers.
Just that's it. It's not that big a deal. You know, like,
not that big a deal.
He's like, oh, I set two alarms next time. They're flaming them up in Toronto. Like, oh my God.
I love it. Come on down, baby. Please. We don't give a shit about you being late. We don't give a shit in New York about you being late because everybody's late in New York. Yeah, literally, it's what we do. It's why the city never sleeps. It's because nobody gets anywhere they want to go on time. You want to be somewhere by 5 o'clock? You better have left your house at 5 o'clock the day before.
And then you got to go. You got to go to the subway, and all the Metro cards are glued shut, and you can't. Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
This is why anytime I would go to a Met game, I would always leave my house at 4 o'clock. It's not even that I lived far away. It's just like something's going to happen. I'd rather it happen now as opposed to it happening when I'm just trying to give myself barely enough time to get to.
I'm just trying to get somewhere.
Maybe it's New York.
Yeah.
Shit's late here all the fucking time.
And
welcome.
The best part is, like, when you're on the way, you're bound to see at least 3 or 4 shows. Like, doesn't matter what it is, there's a lot of people watching, and it's the A-plus kind.
Oh, so, yeah. And that's going to slow you down even more, because then you're not even walking as fast as you should.
Hey, I'm walking here.
Kasperi, you're going to fit right in, baby.
Yeah, he really is. And he wore a little newsy hat this week. Oh, so cute. It's going to be so good to the Rangers.
What is wrong with you?
I like fashion. No, I don't. I wear the same pair of jeans every fucking day.
I respect it. All right. Well, let's get into the meat of what we really need to talk about today. My winning Super Bowl bets.
Oh, yeah. So eight prop bets you won, right?
I went eight and seven, which, you know, I finished up $60. We'll take that every day.
And I relate that to the Rangers. That's pretty much like how the record's going to be at the end of the season, right outside of the top 10 picks. But you know what's
funny about the Rangers?
Tell me. That's
Super Bowl bets with Greg, by the way. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Mm-hmm. Thank God that first half ended in a tie. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, the best part about this Rangers two-game win streak against the Red Wings, obviously they're tied at two right now against the Stars.
Can you call it a
two-game
win streak?
It's a two-game win streak.
Okay, it is.
Yeah, it is. They won two games, right? Therefore, it is a streak.
My favorite thing, just real quick to interrupt you, is when people were like, should we send Kako down to the AHL? Like, what do you think this is? It's the exact same thing.
No, the best part about it is they beat the Red Wings back-to-back and their playoff odds dropped. they went into those games at about 15%, and then today Micah McCurdy posted his projections and the Rangers are down to 12.
Yeah, I think
congratulations, you got the 4 points that everyone in this league expected you to get. Oh, by the way, your points don't matter. It's the fact that there are literally eight teams ahead of you in the Metro that you need to worry about. So it doesn't even matter what the Rangers do. It matters entirely what the Flyers and the Blue Jackets and the Penguins and the Capitals Islanders. And the Hurricanes and the Islanders. Like, it matters what those teams do. What the Rangers do, really, they could win out and it still doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, it's a good team too, which is, people were like, oh, this team's good enough for the playoffs. I think there's a lot of years where the Rangers are good enough to make the playoffs if they didn't sell off and they held on to Chris Kreider, and who knows if they will or not at this point. They're definitely selling him off. But this year, the Metro is just too strong. Just the whole thing.
Too good.
What do you want to, I think I saw a chart last week, Chart Boys, that was like the Rangers have a 2% chance. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I think Money Puck.
Yeah, sure. The Money Puck chart was like playoff chance for the Rangers, 2%. It was like, great. And then people keep asking Vince and Rick and all that, like, do you think this team has a chance to make the playoffs? Yeah.
No,
in 2012 and like 13, maybe. Like,
yeah, we're all acting as if like destiny is in the Rangers' hands, right? That's obviously the situation you want to be in. There's so many teams. There are two teams ahead of the Rangers that also probably won't make the playoffs. So, like, not only do the Rangers have to catch the playoff teams, they have to then catch that next ring of teams that are better than the Rangers right now who also aren't going to be good enough to make the playoffs. Like, the Flyers are on pace to have about 96, 97, 98 points. And they're a 50-50 shot at making the playoffs.
That is miserable.
The Rangers were not even on a 90-point pace right now.
Meanwhile.
And the team that is literally 2 to 3 wins off a 100-point place, not guaranteed to make the playoffs. Really struggling up there. So it's like, guys, we could sit here and tell you how decent the New York Rangers are playing, how this core roster is entertaining, how these guys are fun to watch. That's all great and good. You got to take a hard look at the situation the New York Rangers are currently in and just understand that the math is working against the Rangers significantly. There's just too many things that you desperately need to go right for the New York Rangers to make the playoffs. And nobody's that lucky. We're not going to get the St. Louis Blues every year.
Yeah,
part of the reason that team that maybe, I don't know, plays in Kansas, possibly, whatever it's called.
Jesus.
The only reason that team happens is because the Western Conference was weak. The Metropolitan just isn't weak.
Well,
they're all really good.
Speaking of the Western Conference, all right, how many points without looking right now do the Golden Knights have?
I think, what is it, 64, 65?
61 points, dude. Like, that's a really good team. And, like, they're really not that far ahead of, like, the Rangers have 54. But they're, like, the third. The Flyers have 63. And the Golden Knights are third in their conference. In their division, I mean, in the Pacific.
And the Flyers, I think, are either on the eighth spot or are looking on the outside.
It's ridiculous. Poor Sharks, by the way. They're screwed.
Yeah, well, they had a good run.
Did they?
It's a good thing they didn't like lock up all their aging stars or anything. Like, that's a team that could rebuild on the fly for sure.
Very Ranger-esque of them to go to so many finals and just keep losing.
Seriously though.
Know the feeling. The West is just so much weaker than the East on at all levels, and it's just not the Rangers' fault. They're a good team. They have an MVP candidate. You know, Panarin's not going to win the MVP, but he's got 71 points right now. That's ridiculous. I mean, I think the team leader last year was Mika Zibanejad with like 60 or something at the end of the year.
Zibanejad, by the way, is on pace for about 75 points of his own.
Yeah, so we have great players. The goaltending is good. The defense has gotten better. We've been a middle of the road team in the last like 3 weeks. Team's good,
yeah,
but it's just not good enough.
It's funny you bring up the point leaders because I think Panarin's fifth in the league, and Dom Luchusin, who I think that's how you say his last name. I apologize if it's not. There are a lot of letters that don't make any sense being next to each other in his last
name. Maybe we could talk to Dom one day. Hard. We'll request him. That'd be fun.
I think I have talked to Dom. You just weren't around.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, that was the day I wasn't there. Right.
Yep, sure was.
Okay.
That's the one. That's why you don't remember it.
Yep.
Anyway, Dom posted his point leader projections. And he's like, Draisaitl took the lead from McDavid this week because he's had 22 points in his last 11 games. And I was like, what? What? how is this very casually going around in the NHL where we're not – like, we gush about Artemi Panarin, the fact that he's on, like, a point and a half per game pace. And then Leon Draisaitl is just like, oh, by the way, literally the last 11 games, I'm averaging 2 points a night.
Yeah.
Fuck you, dude. What do you mean? And what do you mean you've scored 22 points in the last 11 games?
And again, the Oilers aren't exactly ripping it up. They have 62 points right now. They're not even first in their division. The Canucks are. So it's
Oilers, if you want to add more scoring, call us up, baby.
Yeah, I got your number, babe. It's been an interesting week. I mean, the Detroit games were like nothing burgers, right? I mean,
they went according to plan, right? If anything,
no, they didn't, because the second game where Henrik like had to have a shutout against a
are
really
you kidding me? That's not going according to plan in your mind?
Yes,
that's the most according to plan thing I've ever heard of in my entire life. The Rangers,
it was closer,
a team playing an American Hockey League team.
Yes,
had to eke out a one goal win. Because Henrik stood on his head? Yeah, that's the most Henrik thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
When you put it that way, like when you put it in the context of Henrik Lundqvist games, then yes, that it is a very Henrik Lundqvist game because it should not have been that close. The other game, Panarin just took his, you know what, out and put it on the table. And that's
I believe the legal term is penis.
Yes, I think that was the scientific term is what we were using.
Yeah, but Igor played well, right? So no one's had a bad performance in those two games. But at the same time, nobody should have had a bad performance in those two games because, again, they were playing an American Hockey League team.
And we're recording right now in the middle of the Stars-Ranger game. It's the second period with, I believe, 13 minutes left. It's 2-2. There was kind of like a weird goal for that. I don't even know if it was a goal. It was reviewed, but they labeled it a goal. Seems like no to me. And Henrik let up like one mini softy, but I don't think he's played bad. He's had a couple of great saves tonight, so I don't know. He's definitely getting the bench next game, I'll tell you that. Unless the only way Hank was starting the next game after this was with another shutout. There's no other
if the Rangers win this game, they might keep him in. He doesn't like taking people out if you've won the game before, which to a point I can respect, but it kind of furthers my belief that like Quinn and Gorton it's not that they're not on the same page. I think they're in the same book, but reading different chapters. I'll try and explain my way through this.
Please do.
I think Gorton understands the big picture. And I think part of Gorton understanding the big picture was hiring a coach who could both juggle a rebuilding situation, but also treat every game as if it's like do or die. I think Gorton is happy that Quinn is treating this current run of games from the Rangers as must win games, must compete, have to get all the points, have to keep us in the playoff picture. I think Gorton's very happy that's where Quinn's mind's at, all while understanding that Gorton is going to sell off.
I think he has to know.
Yeah. But on one hand, you and I live in a predominantly baseball world where more and more and more the front office is lockstep with what the manager wants to do, or more importantly, the manager is lockstep with what the front office wants to do. So if the priority is making the playoffs, everyone's on the same page. If the priority is rebuilding, everyone's on the same page. In hockey, I just don't think that lockstep exists. I think Gorton has a clear 5-year plan that he's in year 3 of. Whereas Quinn understands that while it won't be seen as a failure against him if the Rangers don't make the playoffs. It's his goal to make the playoffs, and he's going to do everything he possibly can to make the playoffs. I don't think Gorton feels the same way. And I think it's obvious Gorton doesn't feel the same way, because as much as we hear that, as much as Elliot Friedman can say, oh, Kreider might be willing to do X, Y, and Z. You want to know why Friedman's hearing that, Ryan?
Because that's what that.
Kreider's, yeah, by Kreider's agent.
Yes.
Like, he's not being told that by Gorton. If Gorton had interest in keeping Chris Kreider here long-term, you know what they'd be having with Chris Kreider right now?
Discussions?
Contract talks.
Yes.
Yeah, they'd be talking about it.
I keep
They're
seeing
not
this,
talking about it.
I keep seeing this novel idea that Chris Kreider will come back to New York because he loves it so much here, and he'll take a homegrown discount. I don't see that happening. Like, I like Chris a lot. I don't even think Gorton does that. Maybe he does.
I think if it's going to be a test on Kreider. If he really wants to stay, I don't see the deal being longer than 4 years. I don't see the deal being richer than $6.5 million. Now, if that's something that Chris Kreider truly wants to do, more power to him. But if you're Chris Kreider,
no,
this
way.
Is your one time to cash in those chips.
You've watched lesser players than you, severely lesser players than you, get paid Brock Nelson, 7x7. Like, just,
I mean, Anders Lee is going to get more than fucking what the Rangers would want to give Kreider.
Kreider, you smoke Anders Lee. So, my dude, get your bag.
Yeah,
I love you, buddy.
I get it, and obviously this is all building to a crescendo. Because, and we jokingly mentioned how everything right now is Chris Kreider related, Chris Kreider all the time, and it sounds great that Kreider. It looked like a terrible injury when we saw it.
Oh.
He skated this morning. The fact that he was even a game time decision. I know he's not playing tonight. That was always the right decision, not to play him tonight. Give him a fucking game, guys. What the hell?
It might
be. He literally looked like he was out cold when Mika hit him with the knee.
And he was
like,
limping.
His body went limp.
Yeah. He could barely skate.
Yeah. Don't play him tonight. That's fine. But I hear the crescendo building. You know, we have the Brooks article saying what one thing one week, one thing the other week. Our good friend, our Uncle Rick,
the Rangers
wrote an
article. Chris Kreider right now. Like, okay, Larry.
Yeah, Rick wrote an article being like, look, I understand that it's going to be nearly impossible to do it, but the Rangers should extend Chris Kreider. This is what we're all building to, and we've done this dance before with many players, Zuccarello, McDonough, Hayes, Nash. You go down the list. We've had this discussion over the last 2 years. I truly think if the New York Rangers had plans to keep Chris Kreider long term, it's February 3rd today, they would have been talking before this time. And the fact that other teams are clearly interested, we keep hearing how many other teams are interested.
Eight teams are interested. Eight.
At least, Ryan. The phrase you're forgetting in there is at least.
That's a
and
lot.
Then not just that, but you know, the Rangers keep sending scouts places. I get that they would be doing that anyway, but the volume in which these scouts are going to is significant. Guys, if the Rangers can find a way to extend Chris Kreider, I just hope everyone understands that you can't extend everyone. And maybe, and it's quite possibly, they extend Kreider and find the money for Mika Zibanejad. I don't think it's necessarily one without the other. But I guarantee you, if you extend Chris Kreider, you've taken Tony DeAngelo definitely off the plate. That's a guy you're going year to year with. And again, I'm of the opinion they should probably be doing that anyway. You've taken Ryan Strome off the plate. I don't even know. You could probably keep Strome for one more year. But if you extend Kreider, you're eating into a lot of your cap space.
I want to take what you just, the noises you made, and sample them into a rap song because they're good.
Yeah, you're eating that $6.5 million. The Rangers don't, they have a good amount of cap space. And I get that there aren't exactly a lot of sexy free agents available next year, but when you only have $17 million in cap space or give or take, and I think that's where the Rangers are around, and you're putting about 40% of that into one guy, it will be impossible for the Rangers to extend or even not even extend, just agree to one-year deals with D'Angelo Lemieux, Georgiev, and Strome. Two of those guys are gone if you keep Chris Kreider. And you can make a good argument that maybe two of those guys should be gone anyway. It's just, I hope everyone understands that if you keep one person, it doesn't mean you're keeping everybody. It just means you're keeping that person for sure. And sure, if the Rangers don't trade anyone right now, I mean, if they make the decision to keep Kreider, I hate to say it, but Jesper Foss is gone the next day. Like, you can't bring Foss back too.
I just don't. So it's, I don't want to even have this conversation.
I hear it now when you do it.
Yeah, I do it. There's no way we keep Chris Kreider, especially when the market is this favorable towards the Rangers. There's no better time than now. And are you going to get a better player than Chris Kreider in return? Absolutely not. But this next year's draft is loaded. The first two rounds are insane. And if you can get a first-round draft pick plus a great prospect, maybe not from St. Louis but from someone else, you have to do that. You have to. And then have, if Kreider wants to come back, by all means, Chris, try and go win a chip. Come back. We could talk again. I'll try and get you the best deal possible, and then we'll go from there. But right now, with the Rangers having mathematically almost no chance to make the playoffs, you have to trade Chris Kreider. You have to. There's no other way.
Yeah, we're big future value boys, and I don't. This isn't the Blue Jackets scenario where they kept all their pieces to make a playoff run. We're so far removed from the playoff run that I don't know how you can justify keeping all these pieces. I get if you don't want to trade your restricted free agents, you can. We've made it, right? We've discussed it. There are perfectly acceptable arguments to say more people will be interested in Tony DeAngelo and Alex Georgiev in June than they will be today. And you can get more back for them because everyone else's cap situation will be more flexible than it is currently today. That's fine. With Chris Kreider, you're not trading him in June. Like, if you're going to get anything from Chris Kreider, you're getting something for him in the next couple weeks. And I, as much as it pains to say, with or without Chris Kreider, the New York Rangers are not a playoff team this year. And if you want to talk about, is Chris Kreider going to help the New York Rangers next year? We can have that conversation in the summer when he's a free agent and you can be free to sign him. And it's not like this is a far-fetched scenario, right? We live in New York. The most famous scenario in which this happened is a New York scenario in the last 5 years where the Yankees not only ended up with Aroldis Chapman, they also ended up with Gleyber Torres.
Well, the second most famous version of this is also a New York story, Gregory. It's Carmelo Anthony. Like, that guy...
Right. We're talking about the good and the bad of the same story, right? The good of the scenario is you trade Chapman for a top prospect knowing that Chapman's coming back. And the bad is you make a trade for a player that was coming to you anyway because that player put a gun to your head and said, you need to give me more money. Like, you just named the two examples where... It's the same side of the same – it's this different side of the same coin. Like, if Chris Kreider really wants to stay in New York, fantastic. Then Chris Kreider needs to understand the best thing he can do for the New York Rangers is leave on sabbatical for 4 months and come back in the summer.
Yeah, if you want to be here and you're willing to take less money a la Zuccarello, who, by the way, so glad got paid and got his 5 years, and that's the reason why he's not a Dallas Star right now, which sucks for us. You can come back. We'll figure it out. We'll figure the numbers out. We're not going to give you 7 years. We're probably not giving you 6 years. We might give you five, but there's no way we go more than five. That's just it.
I think the Rangers want four, and I think Chris wants, rightfully, at least six.
He should want six.
The thing is, that's the thing. Someone's going to give him six.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if he reaches the open market, we talk about this a little bit with Jeremy Rutherford coming up about how it's hard to think of if Chris Kreider was on the trade market last year, maybe we're not talking about him in the scenario where the Rangers get a first-round pick and a prospect because, you know, teams could have shopped for the Mark Stones, the Matt Duchesnes. People thought the Artemi Panarins were available on the trade market. So you weren't getting this kind of return for a guy who, quite honestly, is not on that tier. But the trade market is set up in a way where Chris Kreider is the big fish. And if you're the New York Rangers and you own the big fish and you don't owe that fish money next year, man, I don't know how you don't trade it in for something that you can build around in the future.
Is there a bigger hero?
It doesn't make sense.
Is there a bigger hero this year for the Rangers than Rei Sciro?
I don't think so. He did the Rangers the biggest favor in the world, where he also didn't get a whole lot for Taylor Hall, where, like, all these teams feel like they can now do work with the Rangers and feel like they don't have to give up the entire farm, but they're still going to have to give up a first and a prospect. If Chris Kreider is not getting traded for a second-round pick, it's not happening.
No, it's not. There will be a suitor that will give a first. I strongly feel that way. I was surprised. I was actually flabbergasted when Kevin Hayes got a first, especially because the trade market was sort of so dead last year. But this year, Kreider is the number one asset, and there are a lot of teams that can make a run here. And Kreider is going to be needed. You're going to give a first. That's all it is. I don't think it's unreasonable. I don't think it's a weird ask. With Zuccarello, I mean, it was conditional, but it was like a lot to ask a first. With Hayes, I was surprised. With Kreider, it's a no-brainer. I think that's it.
Yeah, especially if he's healthy. And it all signs point to him. The fact that he wasn't quite a healthy scratch tonight, but it sure sounded like the Rangers
Can
gave
we just talk about the Rangers and hurting other Rangers? There's just such a weird history with it.
A tradition unlike any
other. It's like I was tweeting about the Mika and Kreider bromance and how wonderful it is, and then immediately, Mika knees him directly in the head. And I was like, okay, great. That's awesome. And McDonough's talked about all the times he admires Henrik Lundqvist, takes his mask up, gets hit right in the neck. Like, good times. Awesome. Also, Zuccarello in the head losing the ability to speak. I believe that was also a Ranger that shot that. So, yeah, awesome. Awesome times. Want to go to our interview with Jeremy? We'll come back to some five-star questions.
Let's do it.
Transition. A little bit of a DraftKings ad first. Here we go. DraftKings. Hey. Transition.
The big game might be over, but the action isn't slowing down just yet. There's plenty happening on the rink. It's a hockey podcast, after all, on the court and on the field. Get on the action tonight with DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Just as one football season ends, another begins. Celebrate the kickoff of a new professional football season starting this weekend with DraftKings Sportsbook.
DraftKings Sportsbook is a safe, secure betting app. You can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Plus, they have great promos and odd boosts each and every day of the week. It's no wonder DraftKings Sportsbook is the America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code QUICK for a limited time. All users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook has a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. $1,000! Don't forget to enter code QUICK and get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Only DraftKings Sportsbook.
Must be 21 years old or supply. New Jersey only. Bonus comprised of first deposit bonus and first bet match up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25x playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbooks for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Back to the show. Hey, we're back with our first guest of the day. Actually, our only guest. We have Jeremy Rutherford. He's our coworker at the Athletic St. Louis. He's a beat writer or writer for the Blues. Jeremy, say hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Thanks so much for coming on. I guess I have to ask. I don't really know how Missouri works, really. Are you guys celebrating the Kansas City?
That's a little bit of a convoluted question. I'll give you the quickest, most concise, clear answer. There are a lot of Kansas City Chiefs fans in St. Louis. However, the way that the Rams left, a lot of people are down on the NFL. And secondly, the Chiefs ownership was one of the ownership groups that kind of allowed and voted for the Rams to leave St. Louis. So some football fans here in St. Louis find it hard to cheer for the Chiefs. But I watched the game. I like the Chiefs. And so, yeah, I thought that it was good to see them win.
It's one of those weird things where it's like, is St. Louis happier that the Chiefs won or happier that the Rams lost last year?
I think way, way, way happier that the Rams lost
That's
last year.
Amazing.
You will find next to no Rams fans in St. Louis.
Wow. I didn't realize it was going to be that bad, but I guess you take your sports team and just totally leave it for a stadium in L.A., then that's really unforgivable. I guess if the Rangers left, I would never get over it.
Yeah, and I don't want to get too detailed on you here, but the team was saying for several years that they were trying to work in good faith with the city to get a new stadium and stay here when after the move to L.A. happened, there were documents, phone calls, conversations, everything that came out that said that it had been a long, long time that the Rams had their eyes on L.A. and were kind of talking out of both sides of their mouth.
Well, at this point,
sports.
Yeah, definitely sports. I guess we did bring you on to talk hockey and not football in this case, and I appreciate you giving us the history lesson there because I seriously didn't know, and now I'm educated a little bit at least.
A little bit. Man.
The name that everyone's going to bring up to you is Chris Kreider. He's obviously, if not the number one target, very close to the top for at least eight teams as reported to today. Tell me about the St. Louis Blues interest in Chris Kreider and what they could see in him with the Tarasenko injury pretty much hampering them for a lot of the season. Not that they've been a bad team.
Yeah, it's a unique situation because of the Tarasenko injury. So for those not familiar with what's been going on here in St. Louis, Tarasenko goes down 10 games into the regular season back in October with a shoulder injury. He needed surgery, so they say that he's out 5 to 6 months. And that timetable brings him back last week of the regular season or early in the playoffs. And obviously you guys know with shoulder surgeries, you just don't know. I mean, it could be 5 months, it could be six. And so they don't know. And then obviously with a franchise player, you don't want to push him and put him in a bad spot. So with that said, the Blues have been lacking a Vladimir Tarasenko, or however you want to look at it, top six forward for most of the season. They have surprised us by playing as well as they have and leading the Western Conference at this point without Tarasenko. They play a real strong team game. But I think there's a hole up there. And so Doug Armstrong recently told Pierre LeBrun and Scott Burnside on the Two-Man Advantage podcast that he could see the Blues being in the market for a top six forward. So at this point, that's where it stands. Obviously, Chris Kreider is one of the top names available. And so that's why people are connecting the dots between the Blues and Chris Kreider.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation that I'm happy you're on here to talk to us about, because in one instance, the Blues make a perfect trade partner for the Rangers, right? It's a clear playoff team in clear need of a top six forward, specifically on the wing, specifically one that could provide some high upside scoring. At the same time, the St. Louis Blues are the one team in the NHL that could kind of take a step back and say, do we need to go all in this year just because we have to defend the cup? Or can we kind of rest on our laurels a little bit and just say, we won the cup last year, let's roll the dice with what we have. No matter what happens, everyone's still kind of in the honeymoon phase. Do you think the Blues are in the unique situation where there's actually less pressure on them to make a deadline move because they have last year's cup in the cupboard?
Yeah, and I don't want to ride the fence, and I won't, but I think you can look at it both ways. You can say they won the cup, rest on their laurels, don't go all in this year, especially because of the Tarasenko thing. Like, hypothetically, you trade for Chris Kreider, and then Tarasenko doesn't come back at all, or he comes back and he's a shell of himself. Was it really worth going all in and giving up a big package for Kreider, and then he's gone, and then now you're without the first rounder and potentially a prospect? So you could definitely make that case. However, the Blues and Doug Armstrong talk about the window, the championship window. I know all teams that win a cup, that's what they talk about. You know, do you have 2 more years, 3 more years where you could try to win another cup? And nobody, you know, knows what the next couple of years bring. For example, Alex Pietrangelo's UFA also. Do they re-sign him? You know, if they say to themselves, we're not going to pay for Chris Kreider and we're not going to go all in this year, and then they lose an Alex Pietrangelo, and then they, you know, don't have a great shot next year. You know, did you put yourself in the best possible position to win? So maybe that makes the case for going all in this year. So I think those are the big questions that they have to answer.
Everything I've read about Chris Kreider and what the Rangers are sort of, I don't want to say demanding, or at least asking for, is some sort of B-level prospect and a first-round pick. Is that something you think the St. Louis Blues would feel comfortable parting with for the rental that is Chris Kreider?
Yeah, I talked to Pierre a little bit before he wrote the piece, Pierre LeBrun. It's up at The Athletic today. He's playing matchmaker and putting together these trade concepts. And the one that you guys are probably referring to and you read today is Kreider to the Blues for a first-round pick and Jordan Kyrou. You know, Blues fans obviously reacted how, you know, I thought they could react, some of them saying that you're crazy. But hey, listen, if he's the top available guy, you're going to have to give up the first round pick. And like you guys said, it's going to be a B plus prospect. So is Jordan Kyrou an A prospect? Is he a B plus? He's somewhere in there. He's a guy, you know, I don't know how much homework you guys have done on him, but just a speed demon. And right now he's trying to figure it out at the NHL level, in terms of winning puck battles and being consistent and aggressive every single night. So he's been in and out of the lineup for the Blues here recently because he's still trying to figure it out, but he's got a ton of upside. If I had my guess, I do not think Doug Armstrong would trade a first round pick and Jordan Kyrou. I think that the Blues probably consider him, you know, a high end prospect, whatever you want to label it, A, B plus. And I think they'd try to move somebody with a little less ceiling than a Jordan Kyrou. But I do think that Doug Armstrong knows the price he's going to have to pay. And, you know, it's not going to be something that he's probably comfortable with, but he knows that he's going to have to add somebody like a Chris Kreider, a Tyler Toffoli to that group of top six and enhance the team's chances.
I was going to ask it because the position that makes this trade deadline so unique for the Rangers is we're not living in a world where like the Mark Stones of the world or the Matt Duchesnes, or I mean, even though he ended up staying, the Artemi Panarins of the world, they're not getting dangled at this deadline. So while Chris Kreider, maybe the last two deadlines wouldn't have been the top option available, we're living in a world where now all of a sudden Kreider is the 1A option for all these teams. If the Blues sit out on Kreider, do you think there's a player available? I know you mentioned Toffoli, who could actually push the Blues over the top, or is this a situation where you're looking at this Blues roster, you're looking at the possibility that Tarasenko is not ready to go for the playoffs? Is this a situation where the Blues need this Chris Kreider in order for them to make the run that they want?
Well, you just nailed it. And that's what I've been telling people here in St. Louis, that, you know, is Chris Kreider the Panarin or whichever example you want to use, where, you know, everybody just has to have him, like a Taylor Hall prior to him getting dealt, he generated a lot of interest. And Kreider's probably not that player, but he's still a really good player. And he's still worthy of being mentioned as the top one or two guys available in the class. And so it doesn't matter what everybody thinks he's worth. He's going to be worth what everybody is willing to pay. So, you know, will Chris Kreider push the Blues over the edge and make them the hands-on favorite to repeat as Cup champions? Probably not, just because he's not necessarily that type of player. But I think the Blues already have a really good thing here in St. Louis. Doug Armstrong has built this team where it's not one or two stars, even though they do have a Tarasenko. You're talking about what he likes to say is he pays a lot of guys really handsomely, but doesn't necessarily, you know, pay you know the superstar paycheck like we see with a McDavid or those types of guys. So you have a Braden Schenn, you have a Jaden Schwartz, you have those types of guys. So I think what Chris Kreider does is he's a really good player, comes in, 20 goal scorer. He's got the size. He can play on that left wing with Ryan O'Reilly and David Perron, who have unbelievable chemistry, the two of them. I think he does make them significantly better, but at the cost that it's probably going to take, that does he put you right into that conversation about the Blues are absolutely hands down the team to beat.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the season for the Blues in general. Right now, they have an 8-point lead on the Avalanche for the Central Division lead. Obviously, they were the Stanley Cup champions last year. They haven't really slowed down. They kind of remind me of the Toronto Raptors of the NBA side, where they're still a very, very good team. Like you said before, this team has still a chance to make the Stanley Cup, and Greg has pointed out that maybe going all in isn't the best case, but has this season sort of been a surprise that they're still so good yet again, even though they won the cup? Because the start of last year was not so good, and a lot of our fans I know listen mostly to or know mostly about the Eastern side of hockey.
Yeah, no, here's something. You know, I've been covering the Blues for 15 plus years, and you know they didn't have a lot of team success. The trip to the Western Conference Finals in 16, that was the furthest that they had been since 2001. So when people talk about learning what it takes to win, and the Chicago Blackhawks know what it takes to win, the Pittsburgh Penguins know what it takes to win, I always kind of looked at that like as a cliche. And even though you could kind of understand the concept, I didn't really witness it on an everyday basis. But watching the Blues win the Stanley Cup and what they had to go through in the breaks and, you know, make your own breaks and, you know, come back in games and just keep persevering night after night for, you know, four rounds. I now know what everybody's talking about, because when I watch this Blues team this year, they go into games against teams and rosters that have more skill and they're probably better than, but they just have that knowledge from last year. And you can see them apply it in games because they'll get down one or two goals, but they just keep sticking to the system, and it had a good payoff last year. So it's got that positive reinforcement. And so they just keep playing their game. And you know, it's interesting that I'm doing the podcast with you guys, because it was Henrik Lundqvist who said a couple weeks ago, you know, after the Blues played the Rangers, that, you know, they just know when to chip, know when to chase, know when to put the puck here or there. And I think that was a perfect explanation of why the Blues are so successful, is that they just on most nights stick to the system. So I think that's what's happened here in St. Louis, is it has been a surprise that they're tops in the West and they've been running top three in the league all year long. But it really shouldn't be a surprise, because Craig Berube has really instilled in them the way that this team needs to play, and they just keep doing it.
Now, Jeremy, Ryan kind of mentioned it without going into too many details about it. The Blues currently 8 points up on the Colorado Avalanche in the division. Obviously, the team that we've heard most connected to Kreider besides St. Louis are the same Colorado Avalanche. Is this a scenario where the Blues may see Kreider as a 2-for-1 in one way, as in not only is this the guy to perfectly fit what we lack currently, but also we're keeping him from going to maybe the biggest threat we have in our own division?
Yeah, it's a good question, good way to look at it. I'm sure that that's going through Doug Armstrong's mind a little bit when he's considered what his plans are. And especially, you know, the Blues had Colorado's number there for a little while. They beat the Avs in 6 straight meetings, but the Avs have got them the last 2 games, and those are, you know, recent. Those are the past couple weeks. The Avs have really beat them badly. So they're definitely a threat. The only kind of answer I can give you on that question is Doug Armstrong's not going to overpay, and he will wait and wait and wait until he gets a deal that's I don't want to say favorable, because he likes when both teams kind of win the trade. But he'll wait until it makes sense. And if it doesn't make sense, he won't make the deal. You know, you saw the Blues trade with Buffalo for Ryan O'Reilly. You know, we saw what the package was. They had been talking about that trade for months and months and months. And then finally, Botterill picks up the phone on the day of free agency and says, you know, after it looked like the deal was off, and says, okay, well, how about this? And then they figured it out and Doug got his deal. You know, I've done the homework on this stat and I believe it to be true. I never want to pass off bad information. I believe this to be true. Doug Armstrong took over in 2010, and I believe he's the only GM, you know, that's still with the team, not to execute a buyout. We're talking going on 9 or 10 years now. You know, they've had a couple bad contracts, like a Yuri Laterra, but he moved it to Philadelphia. So he's never had a buyout. So he, because it's a mid-market, you know, I know they've spent to the cap, but it's not a market that can necessarily spend to the cap if Doug Armstrong's just doing things willy-nilly. He's done a tremendous job with contracts, with trades, and if stuff doesn't make sense, he won't do it. So could the Avs getting Kreider, could that push the Blues to be a little more persistent? It could, but it's not going to push them to the point where Doug Armstrong just gives up the farm.
The way you just described Doug makes me feel like there's no way Kreider gets traded to the St. Louis Blues. And earlier I was very excited by reading the article in The Athletic. Like, oh, this is a real thing, a first round pick and this prospect that seems quite intriguing. And the way you just described everything with the 7 other teams involved, I just think he's going to be too patient. I mean, we'll find out in a couple weeks here, but boy, it certainly does seem like Doug will hold back because he's going to wait for the perfect deal and he might not get it when it comes to Jeff Gorton. Not that Jeff Gorton is a wizard when it comes to trades, but he did trade Ryan Spooner for pretty much Ryan Strom. So that was a nice win by him. With the Blues, say you're a Ranger fan out there, you don't really watch a lot of the Blues, other than Tarasenko and Ryan O'Reilly, who's the player that that fans should watch out for?
Yeah, there's a few of them. You know, Jaden Schwartz is just a guy who's consistent. Braden Schenn plays physical, exactly how the Blues want him to play. I would say if you're looking out for a guy to watch, Robert Thomas, second year forward. They've got him playing his natural position center now, and he's just got the skating and the vision, and you know, he gains the zone like nobody else on this roster. So he's the guy, and I've actually gotten some phone calls from some New York media asking about the availability of Robert Thomas and a potential Kreider deal, and you know, sorry to say that wouldn't fly. I think Robert Thomas is untouchable. He's a foreseeable number one, number two center for the Blues long term with Ryan O'Reilly. So Robert Thomas, I guess, would be my answer for that question.
I guess to really bring this home here, Jeremy, if we're saying there's going to be a marriage, a trade marriage between the Rangers and the Blues, in your estimation, it's probably the Rangers that have to come back down to the Blues level. If we're using Pierre's trade model today, which was Kyrou in the first-round pick, is your best guess that that first has to then become maybe conditional upon a Kreider re-signing in order for it to become a true first?
I think it could be, but I'll say this. I don't know. I think that's why the Blues would be interested in Kreider, because he's a UFA. Not to say that they wouldn't want him beyond this season, but their cap space is limited next year and moving forward, and they're going to have to, if they want to re-sign Pietrangelo, to $8.5-9 million AAV. So can they take on a Kreider contract next year too? I don't think that they can. So it might be that they look at a situation like that as a strict rental player, which obviously doesn't do much for the package, you know, if it comes with an extension and then the Blues add a Kyrou, you know, and a first round pick. And then, so to answer the question, the way you phrased it, you know, are the Rangers going to take a pick that's conditional, goes from a second to a first? I don't think they're going to have to, because I think they're going to get a first round pick. So, you know, I still think the Blues are a good, you know, candidate. I think something could happen. I think Doug Armstrong could surprise everybody. He could be thinking differently than I'm explaining to you guys. You know, it just all depends on what he hears from the doctors and trainers. And Tarasenko, they're going to meet on February 15th, and that's 9 days before the trade deadline. So whatever he hears on that, I think, is going to play a role in how much he decides to pay for somebody to bring him in. So one last thing I think we also have to keep in mind is Doug Armstrong works in stealth mode. This is no disrespect to any of the national you know, reporters, but rarely do you see anybody out in front of a Doug Armstrong trade. The Justin Falk, Joel Edmondson trade just fell out of the sky. He really works closely behind the scenes, and people in his inner circle are really tight-lipped. So, you know, same thing, even though we knew about the O'Reilly trade, the fact that it broke on the day that it did was kind of surprising. So anyway, all I'm trying to say, we could sit here and paint a picture where Doug Armstrong won't pay a price, or the Blues might not be a suitable trade partner like we think they are. And then all of a sudden we're hearing about a Kreider to St. Louis deal. So I wouldn't put it past Doug.
Time will tell, my dear friend. Thank you so much for stopping by, Jeremy. Really appreciate it. Anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
No, just keep doing the great work you guys are doing. And I love what we're all doing with the athletic stories, and now, you know, adding the podcast element to it too. So maybe we'll have to have you guys on, and especially if there's a deal to be had,
we will. We'll be available.
We're available. Also, Jeremy, do Ryan and I are big baseball fans. Do we have to worry about a Nolan Arenado trade? Please say no.
I don't know. That's, you know, what's another situation that you know, they're going to have to pay a pretty steep price, the Cardinals, if they're going to make that trade with the Rockies. But it is funny that you asked that, because here we are talking about what will Doug Armstrong do at the trade deadline. There are a lot of St. Louis Cardinal fans in this city who would like to replace the Cardinals GM with Doug Armstrong, so that the baseball team will make a big move. So it's kind of funny how that kind of goes back and forth.
Paul Goldschmidt last year. That was a good get. I mean, it's not like they got nobody. The Cardinals are notorious for getting these undervalued players and making them good. I don't get it. Whatever.
They really are. But in St. Louis, you're king for about 2 weeks after making the Goldschmidt deal. And then after that, it's like, okay, now what can you do?
Okay.
This is
they traded Shelby Miller for like a prospect, like so many prospect packs. I can't get into this. All right. Jeremy, thank you so much for coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, guys.
Go team. Hey, we're back. Okay, great interview with Jeremy. He's very generous to come on the show. I really appreciate that. And the Rangers are never trading for Chris Kreider. I've decided.
The Rangers. Well, it'd be hard for the Rangers to trade for Chris Kreider.
That's true. The Blues are never trading for him. Yeah, either. Let's do some five-star questions. If you want to leave a five-star question, you can go to our iTunes page, type in Blue Shirts Breakaway or New York Rangers, find us, leave a five-star question, and we will read it on the show. We have a couple this week. A lot shorter than usual. I'm proud of you people. Thank you so much. This first one is...
What do you mean, you people?
I was just being gender neutral.
I thought you were going to get the reference, but that's fine. Keep going.
I missed it. Sorry. This
you
is
disappoint me.
Speaking of disappointing, this one's from Ryan's imaginary wife. Ryan.
Oh.
Ryan, what do you?
I like this. I like this. Let's go with this.
Ryan, what do you call the voice you do in the DraftKings ad? Greg, can you do any voices? So I read the DraftKings ad like this, Gregory. The whole god. I do every single week. I don't know. I got really bored reading the DraftKings ads some weeks. So I like, I didn't get bored, rather. The DraftKings ads, they're you have to read them verbatim. You can't like ad lib at all. There are other ads like, you know, some other sponsors we get, you can ad lib. These ones you have to do verbatim. So I wanted to add my own spin. So I just started adding voices.
I definitely like adjust my voice when I start talking about a certain portion of the Ranger fan base. Like I do, ooh, what's the big deal? Blah, 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 blah.
Big adjust voice is when you go, is it? Is it?
That's not me adjusting my voice though. That's you saying something dumb that makes me like revert back to prepubescent Gregory. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, Ryan says some controls. I'll be like, is it though?
Is it? I think that's as far as you go for voices.
That's not me doing a voice. That's me like, you make my body do something that is not great.
So proud
for anybody involved.
I do a lot of weird voices because I play Dungeons and Dragons like a nerd. This one's from BRocks111. Hey guys, listen to the pod now. A couple things came up on the subject of the All-Star game. Would an outdoor game make it more appealing? More to this, but I don't think so. Logistics for the outdoor game, like people care about the outdoor game because it's a really cool experience. I mean, this year they didn't advertise it at all. I didn't know it was happening till the day it happened, and the Blackhawks weren't playing, so how would I know, right? But I don't think the outdoors makes it any more appealing to anybody. I think the game has to matter for outdoor to appeal.
I don't think it makes it any more appealing for anybody, but especially the players. Like, you're already getting a hard time to get these players to play in this game.
Yeah, Artemi Panarin sat on a fucking beach, okay? He didn't want to go.
You want to know what's something that's not going to get them to play in this game? Oh, by the way, you have to freeze your ass off for a couple hours now.
To continue this question, I still think they need to change the format for it to truly be successful. We agree. What are your ideas? What are your ideal returns on impending trades? I think, Gregory, you and I can agree on this, which is a first-round pick and a B-plus prospect. I think anything
for
more...
For Kreider.
Yeah, okay, for Kreider. I think... Kapanen would be phenomenal for Georgiev. And I think I would love a third round pick for Foss, but I think he ends up being a fourth or a fifth.
I still don't think it's weird in my head where I'm just like, I think the Rangers are still just going to run the clock out on Foss.
I'm not going to argue, but that's my ideal.
I know the Rangers. I mean, the Rangers, it's not to say the Rangers don't value Chris Kreider's locker room leadership, but I know for a fact that Foss is admired and adored in that locker room. And I think the Rangers could look at it just being like, if we're trading Kreider and getting all these future assets, do we really need this extra third round pick for Jesper Foss? Or is it more beneficial just to keep Foss on the roster and maybe talk about some kind of team friendly contract in the summer? Like all the reasons why people think Chris Kreider might not go anywhere, I think those reasons are actually justifiable for Jesper Foss.
He also mentions that can you mention any particular players other than Bracco you'd be interested in? Like Kapanen, obviously, but I don't really have a particular player I'm looking at.
No, wingers. I would love. I need wingers, as many wingers as you can throw our way. But specific wingers, no. Just wingers in general. All the wingers, please.
This next question is from Krabby Season. Hey guys, just wanted to get your thoughts on the possibility of Nils Lundqvist making the team next season, and if that has an impact on management's decision with the defense before the deadline. I quickly met Nils at the beginning of the season. He's like my size. He's still got some growing to do. And yes, I know Kako's 18, but he's definitely a bigger kid. I think Nils will have a lot of adjustment to make in the NHL, and I don't think he'll be over by next year. If he did make it over, I am not sure it impacts. We've talked about Tony D'Angelo a lot on this podcast. I still think they move him to his offhand on that side of the defense. If that's the case, we'll see how that plays out. I don't think it affects how we if we're going to trade or not. I'm sure Gorton has taken Nils Lundqvist into account and we'll execute accordingly with Tony D'Angelo. I don't think he'll be over next year, though. I don't think he'll be starting for the team.
Yeah, I also just want to caution people who are super excited that young players are having really good years in Europe. We're seeing a lot of growing pains with 18-year-old Kaapo Kakko, which should be expected because, again, he's an 18-year-old playing in a man's league. I understand that Nils Lundqvist is having a monster season in Sweden, but maybe don't base what you think he'll be able to do in North America next year on that monster season alone. I mean, Kravtsov had a really good KHL season, and he had a hard time getting going in the AHL. So success overseas is important. It's not like you want to bring over guys that are scrubs. But I think we need to do a better job of reeling in our own expectations for these young pieces. I also, if Lundqvist signs an entry-level contract after this deal, I don't expect him to play a single minute in the NHL. I really don't.
I really don't either.
I think he's going to get – I mean, Joey Keane hasn't even been an option in the NHL this year. He's going to get a full year in Hartford. Rykov hasn't even been an option. So I know part of it is injury-related, but – Lundqvist, if he comes over, is going to get at least one full year in Hartford. So let's just remember that for whenever he does decide to come over.
This next question is, I know Anderson, this is from Relock03. No, Anderson has been lighting the lightning rod for articles, but how has Kravtsov been doing in the AHL? And if that roller coaster has stabilized itself? Kravtsov over the past like 10 days has like 2 assists and 2 goals. Supposedly, from everything I've read, there's been no problems and he seems to have bought in. That's all I know. I know that Vince wrote a really good article about him for the USA Today. It seemed like he got his head on straight and he's ready to play. I think he's just waiting for his opportunity. Yeah, I know
he had a 2-point game this weekend as well. Everything we've heard, which again it's no different than what Vince has heard. It's no different than what everyone has been reading. Kravtsov is doing everything the Rangers want him to do in Hartford. He's getting consistent top 6 minutes on a successful AHL team, even if the points aren't quite there. He's not doing anything the Rangers I feel like the Rangers believe the points will come because he's doing everything right. So I have no concerns about Kravtsov. I don't stay up late at night dreaming about or hoping that he's doing something differently. I think everything's going about as well as it possibly could be, all things considered.
Agree. This is the last question from Joe M27. Hey guys, wants to know if you guys think that Kakko, I was almost in a Boston accent. Kakko will start turning around his last half of the season. I think the All-Star break is just what he needed and will definitely help him. I can see Kakko putting up a decent amount of points the rest of the season. Hashtag Kakko Revenge Tour. I've watched a lot of the Stars games tonight on the second screen. I turned it off. It's now 4-2. And I will be watching the rest of it while I edit. Kakko has been very noticeable. I think even in the Red Wing games, he was pretty noticeable. I don't know if he'll break out, but he has looked a little faster than he did in the first half. Maybe that's just me placebo affecting myself, but I will say he's been he's been a little faster to the puck. Now, speed is his number one problem. I do believe he's going to need an off season of hard conditioning, but it'll be the first time he hadn't played. He'll have some time off from hockey since 2018, and that's exactly what he'll need. I'm not really too worried yet. We've talked about it a lot. But I think this second half will be a really good test for Kakko, and I'm curious to see what he does with it.
Yeah, I don't even know if he needs to turn it around in the second half in order to learn and grow from the season. I think nothing is going to teach you more about what you need to do at the NHL level than experiencing it for a year. And Kakko will be the first one to tell you that this year has been the most humbling year one could imagine. It's been a slog from start to finish.
Boy, the Sharks do not like Kaapo Kakko.
I would say they hate him.
They hate him.
It doesn't mean that the version of Kaapo Kakko we're seeing this year is going to be the version we see of Kaapo Kakko every year after this. He still has all the talent that we thought he had that made him the second overall pick, that made him slam dunk second overall pick. He's 3 years younger than Adam Fox. He's a baby.
I saw some scouts because you may or may not know this, but I started the church about Kaapo Kakko. And I saw some scouts talking about how it looks like he lost a decent amount of speed from when he was playing overseas. And I don't know if that's because the game has slowed him down or he's just tired.
It could be both, dude.
Yeah, it could be both. I'm not too worried yet.
the caliber of player he plays against in the NHL, in Liga, is not the caliber of player you play against in the NHL.
It's not even close.
It's kind of why the best players from that league come to the NHL. It's also why we see stuff that Pujeniemi is doing in Liga, and we're still thinking like, well, he might be Jesper Foss.
Could be a fourth liner. Cool.
Yeah, if everything goes according to plan, this is a guy that could have a career.
This guy's like putting Jesper up 40 fucking points right now. We're like, oh, cool, could play the fourth line for us.
Yeah, so it's important to keep everything in perspective, and I think the most important thing you can remember is like, the kid's, he's just fucking 18. He's literally a kid. Like, when we say the kid, this is quite honestly what we mean. He is a child.
It's very 18-year-old
Greg was a piece of shit in college.
Yeah.
I was playing Guitar Hero, not going to college class at all. I wasn't anywhere. I mean, I'm still a piece of shit.
Nothing changed.
But, like, I'm at least a more refined piece of shit at the age of 30.
Yeah. I was at Suffolk Community College. I didn't take the SATs. So there you go.
Yeah, he's a kid.
Yeah.
The fact that he's going to play an entire he's not going to obviously play 82-game season. He missed some games this year. But he's going to play 60-plus games in the NHL this year, and he's going to have some level of success. Obviously, it's nowhere near the level of success many people thought he would have. Remember when people were saying, like, this is a guy that's going to score 50, 60 points?
Yeah, that was me.
His rookie season. Yep. He's going to go. Yeah, and what was I saying? Like, we'd be happy if he gets 35?
Yep.
Yeah, maybe listen to Greg every now and then. That's all I'm saying.
What was that about Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, awful.
Okay.
Awful.
Yeah.
Better than Mitch Trubisky, though. I've always been consistent about that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Over under, how many Super Bowls does Mahomes win? Three and a half.
Under. It's really hard to win Super Bowls.
Two and a half?
Under.
Okay.
I think he gets another.
I'll take the over on 2.5. I know it's hard.
Mahomes busted a kneecap this year. All it takes is one injury for Mahomes. It's just like, as great as Tom Brady is, I mean, he's got six. As great as Aaron Rodgers is, is Mahomes better than Aaron Rodgers, you think?
In the long run, right now he is, for sure. Probably not, but Mahomes can develop into that.
But Rodgers has one ring. It's just like, it's really fucking hard. If Reed retires, we don't know who the coach is that'll come in after Mahomes.
That's fair.
There's a lot of options. I'm no longer trying to say Patrick Mahomes is awful. He clearly is not. Clearly is not. I would bet heavy money on the Chiefs winning another one during Mahomes' tenure, but two, asking anybody to win. I mean, not everyone can be Jimmy G, right? Jimmy G's already got two, baby. All he needs is one more to hit that over.
I forgot Jimmy has two. I hate that.
Yeah, he's got two.
I hate that.
Two times Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Okay. Quickly, because I wanted to go through this. I think it's fascinating. You posted this. Is if you listen to this hot podcast for hockey, sorry, bye. My Twitter's Orion Mead and Greg is at Bleacher's Break. We love you. See you next week. You posted the 2020 World Series odds from the Bovada this today. The Yankees are the.
I like how you call it the Bovada, as if like that is
the.
It is.
Like, Bovada, sorry.
Is it the Caesars?
Yeah.
Is it the MGM Grand?
The Bovada. The Yankees are favorites by a good amount. They're at plus 325. Yeah. And then the Dodgers come right after at plus 600. Houston at plus 700 is kind of confusing.
I will say this. I don't think those odds necessarily take into account a potential trade the Dodgers may be about to make.
Two trades, by the way.
Oh, what? Oh, wait. What?
There's a second rumor that came up that they would, if they do get Betts, they will attempt to flip for Lindor.
Betts for Lindor?
No. They will get Betts.
Oh, and then they'll trade like Corey Seager and other things for Lindor.
Yes.
Yeah, because if you're going to go all in, you might as well go all the fucking way in.
Yeah, I think if you can get the Dodgers to plus 600 right now, it is a nice bet.
Yeah, and you know what else is dumb about what you just said?
What's that?
There's a scenario where the Dodgers get Betts and Lindor and still have Gavin Lux.
Oh, and they don't give him up at all. Yeah, he's going to be their middle infielder for like 10 years.
They probably also won't give up May.
No, they'll I think they'll give up May for Lindor. I think that
you
he'll
think
go.
So? Yeah. I mean, the Indians probably hold out for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they have maybe the best prospect in baseball in Gavin Lux, and they're going to trade for Mookie Betts, and they're going to trade for Francisco Lindor, and you and I sit here today and we go, yeah, they probably can make both those trades.
They're going to trade for the second and fifth best player in baseball, and they're going to keep their best prospect.
Yep. Dodgers baseball, catch the fever. If you can get them at 6-1, I would.
Andrew Friedman, by the way.
Whatever the Dodgers' odds to win the NL are, I mean, they're probably – like, the Dodgers' odds to win the NL probably aren't good enough to actually bet on them. as in like the money, like they're probably plus 250 or something stupid. But if you can get the Dodgers at 6-1 today before these trades happen, yeah, get the Dodgers at 6-1, folks.
Oh, man. The other things that surprised me in here, and we'll talk to you about the Angels in a second because I'm so sorry. The Mets plus 1,800. What?
Yeah. Well, I it's twofold, right? It's one.
You're better odds than the Phillies. I find that very hard to believe.
The Phillies don't have, like, good for the Phillies to sign Zach Wheeler. Outside of Wheeler and Nolo, what the fuck are they doing in their pitching? What's in the starting? What's in the bullpen? What's in the rotation, Ryan? That's supposed to scare me any kind of way.
What was the former Cub name that's on their team? I guess Jake.
Jake Arrieta?
Yeah, Arrieta.
The league average starting pitcher last year is supposed to all of a sudden become.
No, I just still think he's, you know, he's okay.
Like, Joe Girardi is going to add how many wins to this team? The Phillies aren't that good of a team, Ryan. Like, they're fine, but it's a very much incomplete puzzle. I don't think the argument for the Mets is the Mets definitely attempted to get better, right?
Because
their biggest problem was the bullpen. Mm-hmm. They addressed that with Betances. They addressed that by re-signing Brack. And maybe most importantly, they addressed it by simply not taking Seth Lugo out of the bullpen. And then if your argument is regression back to the mean for Edwin Diaz and Jerry's Familia. So in theory, the Mets bullpen should be better, if not significantly better. The lineup was never a problem last year. And in theory, you're getting anything out of Cespedes, anything out of Lowry, and you still have McNeil, Alonso, Conforto, Nimmo fully healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you still have Eno Saris, who is a guy we both love and, by the way, is a member of the Athletic team.
Oh, yeah, that's neat.
Four of the Mets' starting pitchers ranked in the top 59 in the entire major leagues. Like, the Mets' starting rotation is still – you can still worry about Rick Porcello every 5 days all you want. The Mets still have DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman, and Mats.
And Michael Wacha.
Like, well, Wacha's even – like, the Mets don't need Michael Wacha to start, I know. Which is a thing. So, like, you look at this division. The Nationals didn't get better. They didn't replace Rendon. The pitching is always going to be good. But it, like, the Nationals got worse. The defending World Series champions are not as good as they were last year. The Braves are trying to replace Josh Donaldson with Marcell Ozuna. And you and I can, I think, both like Ozuna.
We do.
He's not going to replace Donaldson.
That's correct.
And at the same time, the guy that they're going to ask to replace Donaldson, Johan Camargo,
and then
I think.
Marlins. Okay, you know, that we talked about that. And now
Marlins aren't a major baseball team. The Phillies aren't that good either. So, like, the Mets' argument is you could make a case for the Mets winning the division. Like, is it the favorite? No, the Braves are the favorite in the division. But you can get to that conclusion without distorting reality too much. I think it would be unrealistic to expect it, but. Yeah, at 18-1, I think that's a fair odd.
I think
they were tied with the Cardinals, right?
Yeah, they are.
Odds wise,
the best values on here are the Twins at plus 1,600.
Yeah, especially again, that's another one. Whatever the Twins, just to make the playoffs, do that before the Lindor trade,
and then
because the second the Indians trade Lindor, the Twins clinched the division.
I like Oakland at plus 2,800. I like that too.
Argument for Oakland. Is we think the Astros are taking a step back because they won't know what pitches are coming anymore.
Yep. Big deal.
And we really, the poor Angels, man. It's not even, I don't know how you can, if you're building a baseball team and you have Anthony Rendon and Mike Trout, I understand that, like, you no longer have to worry about pitching the same way the New York Mets do. But Jesus Christ, can you get one and a half starters?
Can
you please?
They have
for the love of God,
Otani,
do
and
anything.
Like, that's it.
But even Otani, he's not going to be good to pitch. He's still rehabbing Tommy John.
Yeah, it's
their starting rotation is like Dylan Bundy and Julio Teheran.
It's not.
They haven't been good for years.
Not good enough.
What are you doing? I understand the theory of our offense is going to be good enough that we could win games 10-9. That doesn't mean you should try to win games 10-9. Like, try to prevent runs somewhere. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's
I don't understand. I don't understand how you can shell out that money for Rendon and still have the best player of a generation in baseball And I would be stunned if they make the playoffs.
Didn't even make an offer to Ryu. Didn't even make an offer.
Stupid, dude. Just stupid. And not just Ryu. Like, I get the hesitations with Zach Wheeler, but there were a lot of good starting pitchers. Or even, dude, you and I aren't the biggest Corey Kluber guys in the world, but the Rangers literally, all they did was take on the money.
Yeah.
And if the Angels are out here proving that money is of no concern with what they're doing with Trout and Rendon, then just pay the Indians, dude, the money. Get fucking Kluber.
I inquired in Kluber on our Dynasty League today. So, yeah, I still a believer. I think it's a real thing. Oh, yeah, all right. This has been fun.
I'm so confused by the fucking Angels, dude. It makes so little sense.
Yankees, Dodgers, World Series, all the ratings, all the money for the MLB. There you go.
But the Twins, whatever. Twins to make the playoffs, Twins to win the division. Good bets. Also, sneaky, if you don't want to bet on the Twins, I mean, the White Sox are going to be better, right?
Better. I don't know if they're going to be good enough, but they're going to be way better. You think they're going to be
over 500 team?
I do, yes.
Yeah, I would. Whatever their over-under is on the season, I'm like, if their over-under number comes in at 76.5, I will go heavy on the over.
All right, we're out of here. We'll be back next week. If you guys have any 5-star questions, leave them. We'll hopefully, if there's any emergency trades, we'll do something emergency. Who knows? Love you guys. See you next week. Bye.